WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Is there a reason the adjective French is considered more sexy than the adjective American? Well, that's a question for our linguist, Jeff Nunberg.
The Australians have been put out of joint lately by Jacques Chirac's announcement that France would resume nuclear testing in the South Pacific. And the Australian sex industry wants to do its part. A trade association based in Canberra announced that the nation's sex shops and brothels will launch a boycott of French adult videos and sex products. They're also going to try to revise the vocabulary to rid it of terms that portray the French as lovers, which they describe as a peaceful image that's inconsistent with a nuclear test resumption. Sex shops say they will insist that customers ask for condoms rather than for French letters, as the Australians and the British call them. And the Trade Association says they'll be looking for new Australian names to replace phrases like French kiss. You think of those billboards for Foster's Ale, you know, the steak with a sprig of parsley and the words Australian for dinner salad. Australian for French tickler. I don't want to think about it. I wish them luck, but I doubt whether they'll have much success with the language part of their boycott. The fact is that the French have been taking the linguistic rap for all sorts of sexual license since at least the late 15th century. That was when the world was swept by the first great epidemic of syphilis, which the English called the French pox. Of course, at the time, everybody else was blaming syphilis on foreigners, too. The French called it the Neapolitan disease. The Neapolitans called it the French disease. The Dutch called it the Spanish pox, the Poles called it the German disease, and when it reached Tahiti a couple of centuries later, it was called the English disease. Still, it's no accident that the English blamed syphilis on the French. Even then, the English took the French as the model for lewd and dissolute customs. And the connection would have been that much stronger since it was widely believed that you could only contract a venereal disease through repeated indulgence in illicit sexual pleasures. They had some primitive notions back then. By the 18th century, the word French was being attached to a variety of sexual activities and appurtenances. In fact, the label had a certain patriotic ring, since it was popular to say that French customs and luxury goods were eroding the fiber of British society, particularly among the aristocracy. When you described a practice as French, you gave the impression that it was a sort of thing that decent Britons wouldn't have been able to think up on their own. This was a little disingenuous, of course, and by the end of the 18th century, the adjective French was becoming a general label for anything illicit or salacious, whether it actually originated in France or not. That's when people started saying, "Pardon my French," to excuse the utterance of words of unimpeachably Anglo-Saxon origin. And there was certainly no reason to refer to condoms as French letters. They were made in Britain and were almost certainly a British invention, a point the French themselves acknowledge when they refer to condoms as capotes anglaises, or English bonnets. By the way, it isn't at all clear why they're called letters. Some people say it's from an association of letters with envelopes, but actually, modern envelopes weren't much used until the late 19th century, and anyway, if that's what they meant, why didn't they just say French envelopes in the first place? In any event, by modern times, the adjective French has come to have very little to do with the French. Or rather, it has little to do with the real French, the people who drive around in Peugeots and vote for Jacques Chirac and probably kiss with their mouths closed, for all we know. It's about those other Frenchmen, the mustache-twirling roué and the rouged coquette who lurk deep in the psyche of every Anglophone and whisper indecent propositions into our ears. I always figured that that's what Thomas Jefferson had in mind when he said that every man had two countries, his own and France. And that's the problem facing the folks in Canberra who want to get rid of all this vocabulary. It's sort of hard to imagine anybody saying this sort of thing about Australia.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.